In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. And I want to give you a scenario. This really happened. The children of Israel are in Babylon. They've been there for 70 years. And we know from Psalm 137, by the streams of Babylon, there we hung up our harps, and our captors required us of a song, and they would say, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." And the psalmist said, "How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand wither." They've been there 70 years, okay? But now something new happens. Something new happens. Listen to what it says now. Listen to what it says. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings." What would the good tidings be? We're getting out of Babylon. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that brings good things and good tidings, that publishes salvation, that says unto Jerusalem, your God reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up your voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again back to Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem." How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. And what was the good news? We're getting out of this place. We're going back home. We're going back where the temple was. We're going back. We're going back. We're leaving. This is the first time you hear the word gospel. Good news. "How beautiful upon the mountains are them that bring the gospel." And for them, the gospel was, we're out of Babylon and we're going home. And eye to eye, we shall see the glory of God. And then we look and see what the word of God says in the 10th chapter. "For the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart," that is the word of faith, "that if you shall confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? For as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Read it again. "How shall they hear without a preacher?" Very interesting. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I have with me today two young students from the University of Steubenville, or shall I call it Franciscan University. And one is Tony, and one is Aaron. And we're going to talk about this whole experience about how happy are the feet upon the mountains that bring good news. My question to you today is, do you have happy feet? That's my question to you and to me. Do you have happy feet? So we'll start with Tony. Let's ask you, I want to ask you, do you have happy feet?
Yes. When we surrender to Christ and we seek to preach the gospel and we surrender to what God wants to do and not what we want to do, there's a great joy that comes in that. I mean, I don't know how people do it when they don't trust in God totally, because then I have to worry about everything. You see, when we surrender to His will and seek to do what He wants to do, and He takes control, and we don't have to worry about driving a car that we don't know how to drive. in all reality, you know, this life is difficult, and there are struggles, and when we face them alone, you know, that's when the horrible things happen. But the joy and the happiness and the good things, the good tidings, the gospel comes when we surrender to Christ.
But happy feet come when we bring the message of the Lord to people. Happy feet come when we have good news to tell them. And I'm going to tell you that the church has the best news to tell everybody. As a matter of fact, it's the best news. There is no greater news. And it's the message that the church has to give. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. It's the best news. There is no better news that we have. I can't think of better news. You know, if someone said I hit the mega bucks, I'd say, well, you know what, it's going to come and it's going to go, and it doesn't make any difference to me. You know, what am I going to do with it? Only do some good things with it. But I'm going to tell you that I know better news. Better news than the mega bucks. Better news than paying my bills. I know the news that salvation has been given to us through the blood of the Lamb, and that anyone can come to Him. Anyone can receive the forgiveness of their sins through the power of the cross. I have happy feet because I can proclaim this every day. I do proclaim this every day, that Jesus Christ brings salvation to those who need to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin. Saved from ourselves. Saved from our own wackiness, you know. Jesus Christ is the Lord, and His death and resurrection brings peace to those who believe. Happy feet. Tell me about someone that you shared the gospel with, Tony. Just anyone you've shared the gospel with.
One time I was at a conference in Chicago, a WOW conference. This is when it was still Women of Worship, and there was a young man there. He was about 14 years old, and we stayed up all night, and I just talked to him about the reality of what Christ has done on the cross. And I shared with him this message. And when I shared with him the message, I didn't have to change it up. I didn't have to add anything to it, because it speaks for itself. God became man and died for you and me. I told him this, and this young man went and changed his life, and he went home, and he was a different man. You see, because the gospel changes people. It makes us happy. It brings joy. It transforms. This message is not something normal. When you hear the gospel, it should transform us every time. God became man and died. This isn't ordinary. This is extraordinary. This is supernatural. This is life-changing. And unless we allow the reality of the gospel to transform us, we will never be able to transmit it to others, because we can't give what we don't have. And that's the truth. We need to be able to experience the transforming nature of the gospel. And when we experience that, then we can give it to others. We can give it because we have it, because Christ has died for us. And we have been offered salvation through the blood of the cross. And it is by the blood of the cross that I hope to be saved. It is in Christ alone that our hope rests, in His cross and His suffering.
Okay, now we're in Advent and getting close to Christmas, and we see the manger. I remember seeing an ad, and it was very profound. And it said that the manger must not overshadow the cross. Why? Because this child, who was conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, brought forth in Bethlehem, was born to die. This child that was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, brought forth in Bethlehem, was born to die. So the beauty of the manger always points to the proclamation of the cross. The beauty of the manger always points to the proclamation of the cross. Without the cross, there is no salvation. Without the blood, there is no salvation. Last night, Aaron was reading from the 52nd chapter of Isaiah, how beautiful upon the mountains are them that bring good news. And he was reading to Anthony, and I was listening, and I was being blessed by it, because it's one of my favorite passages in the scripture. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet that bring good news. Tell me, Aaron, how have you brought good news to people? Anyone?
Speaking to Anthony last night was one of the best experiences I feel that I've had in my life, because coming to Franciscan has really changed my life into seeking what God would like me to do with my life instead of what I would like to do with my life. I could see myself taking the skills that God has given me and just going and settling down in Wisconsin, but that's not what I feel God has called me to do. I feel that God has called me and all of us to serve those around us, to serve His people, to serve Christ's people. And I see that in Anthony especially. And just to serve the poor and the homeless is something that God has really called me to do. And I feel very strongly about that, because they're the people that need us. Those are God's people. And I love them. I love them with all my heart. And that's something that God has been able to show me. And being able to read God's word to Anthony and to other people has really helped me to grow in knowing Him.
And little did you know that as you were reading God's word, I was listening, and I was being blessed. I was being blessed by the word of God last night. And as a matter of fact, upon my invitation for ordination, that is exactly the scripture that I have. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet that bring good news. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet that bring good news. That bring salvation. That bring life to people. To bring life to people. And I've always known that life comes through the proclamation of the gospel, and that the church has been given this beautiful, beautiful responsibility to preach the word, name of the broadcast, in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient, that we have been given this mandate to proclaim God's holy and awesome word, to bring people to the feet of Jesus crucified, to bring people to His mercy and to His love. And I've always known that. I've known that. That's why I was born. I know that's the reason why I was born. I wasn't born to do great things. I was born to proclaim the gospel. You know, I wasn't born to find a cure for some terrible sickness. That's not why I was born. I was born to proclaim the word of God. I was born to bring people to Jesus. I was born to be a priest to celebrate the Eucharist. I was born to be a prophetic man. I was born for that. From the foundation of the world, I've been called. I know that even when I feel like a penny waiting for change, I have been called from the foundation of the world to preach the gospel, to speak to people, to tell them about the love of Christ, to be compassionate to people. I've been born for that. I've been born for that. And everybody has to take part in that say they believe in Jesus. We just don't have to say, you were born, he was born for that, but it's not me. I don't have any part in that. Because all of us need to shine like stars in this crooked and perverse generation. All of us need to proclaim the word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And you know, you don't only proclaim the word of God, you know, you care for people. You care for people. You care for people. You care for people. Because if you don't care for people, how can you proclaim the Word of God? If you don't love people, how can you proclaim the Word of God? If you don't take them into your heart, how can you proclaim the Word of God? Because you're the only gospel people are going to see. You're the only gospel people are going to read. And then you can lead people. Then you can lead people. Then you can lead people. Then there was another scripture that he was reading last night. That if you give a drink of water to the least of my disciples, that will not be taken away from you. That if you welcome a prophet, because they say he's a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. If you welcome a righteous man, because he's a righteous man, you receive a righteous man's reward. I know that to be true. That is absolutely true. That is true. That what we do to God's people, what we do especially to God's people, we do to Christ. What we do to the people that are disciples of Jesus, we do to Jesus himself. For if they welcome you, they welcome me. If they welcome me, they welcome him who sent me. This is the reality of the scripture. That you see, even let's say people do something for me, okay? I'm not looking for anyone to do anything else for me. This is just an example, okay? Somebody does something for me. I'm just going to tell you they're doing it for the Lord. You know, I tell you the truth that when Sister Ruth Heflin was alive and I was doing conferences with Sister Ruth Heflin, now Sister Ruth was not Catholic, but she was a prophet and she was a holy woman of God. She was a mystic. She loved the Lord with her whole heart. When she came into that door the first time that I saw her carrying her suitcase, and I said to her, Sister Ruth, my name is Father Tom, and I want to carry your suitcase. Because I know that if I carry your suitcase, I didn't say this to her, I'm going to receive a prophet's reward. I felt honored to carry her suitcase. Because this is a suitcase that's gone around the world preaching the gospel. She's gone around the world preaching the gospel. And if I could do something small for this prophetic woman, my Lord, I know I'm doing it to Jesus, because Jesus identifies himself with the prophet. He identifies himself with the person who proclaims the Word of God. And that's something that's very powerful, that Jesus identifies himself with the person who proclaims the Word of God. So when Tony, when you're proclaiming the Word of God, you're not only proclaiming the Word of God, but Jesus identifies with you. He identifies with, as a matter of fact, it is the Lord himself who is speaking through you. It is Jesus himself that speaks through you. That's what we believe. It, you know, of course he uses you. Of course he uses your vocal cords. Of course he uses your experience. But it is the Lord himself that speaks through you. And that is an awesome responsibility.
It's true. Pope John Paul II, in his encyclical Catechesis Transcendae, on catechesis in our time, he says that catechesis, instructing people in the faith, proclaiming the gospel, is the call for every single Christian. It is our vocation. It is our call. And he says that our catechesis must be Christocentric. What does that mean? That means that it is Christ who we teach, and it is Christ who teaches. It is not me. These are the words of our Holy Father, the Pope. He says, it is Christ who teaches. We merely humbly submit to him. And it must be Christ who teaches through us. That's the call for each and every one of us. We must realize that it is not our gospel. It is not our words. It is him. And if we allow Christ to preach, if we submit ourselves to him, if we fall in love with him, if we surrender to this gospel, if we allow it to transform us, then it becomes, we are able to become Christ, and it becomes Christ's message. And that's what we're called to do. That's the call for each and every one of us, to allow Christ to transform us, to allow Christ to speak through us, because Christ transforms people. The gospel transforms lives.
And you see, this is very interesting, because there is a fruitfulness. There is a fruitfulness that the Lord wants to bring through people. I'll give you an example. When a priest celebrates the Eucharist, it is always the body and blood of Christ, if he does what the church what the church believes. But if a priest who celebrates the Eucharist is close to Jesus Christ, there is a greater fruitfulness than the priest who is not close to Jesus Christ. This is true. This Vatican II tells us that. That there is a fruitfulness in the one who is close to Jesus, in the one who beats with the heart of Jesus, whose heart beats with the heart of Jesus. There is a fruitfulness in the proclamation of the gospel, in the one who loves people and loves the Lord, rather than a person who just has words to tell them. And I'll give you an example about that. We're watching the movie of The Finger of God, and this minister was speaking to Muslims, and what he wanted to do was to bring this Muslim lady to Jesus. Okay? He was with Heidi Baker. Now, Heidi Baker is a beautiful woman. She's in Mozambique, and she ministers to thousands of orphans and the poorest of the poor. And the only thing Heidi was trying to do was to love the woman. She wasn't trying to push the gospel on her. The woman was saying, "Mohammed, Mohammed." So Heidi just prayed for her that she would see better, and she did. But the minister wanted to go through the four spiritual laws, and the woman was not ready for that. You see, there's a great fruitfulness in loving people. That you can't force people into the arms of God. That doesn't work. It's a message of compassion and love. It's not a message of, you know, I'm going to hold a gun to your head. It doesn't work that way. The greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, and love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. And now I know we all fall and we all limp and we all mess up. But the greatest of these is love. To love people, let them feel that they're loved, cared for. It's so important, because that's not what people feel. They feel used. They feel like they're throwaways. They feel like they're the McDonald's generation. We throw them away after we eat it. To allow people to feel that they're loved. And you know, that's a very important thing, a very important thing. It brings fruitfulness to the proclamation of the gospel. It brings a great fruitfulness that even if they don't hear our words, they feel our love. And if that's not what happens, you know, then we're just machines giving them the four spiritual laws, you know what I'm saying? And that's not what we're called to do. We're not called to be machines. I'll tell you the story. I told it before. We were at a place where the Blessed Mother was weeping. This was a statue of Our Lady weeping, okay? There was a Jewish man sitting next to me. This happened 15 years ago. And the Jewish man said to me, "Why is Mary weeping?" So I said, "She's got a lot to weep about." So I looked at him and I said, "Could you in your heart ask Jesus now to come and fill your heart and forgive your sins?" He said, "No, I'm Jewish." So I said, "That's fine." You know, I just kept quiet, you know. I just continued to pray. About 20 minutes later, he looks at me, he says, "I want Jesus to come into my life." If I had forced him, nothing would have happened. But the Spirit of God was working upon him. So, we prayed that Jesus would come into his heart, that he would forgive his sins, and that he'd be his Lord and Savior. He later became a Catholic and went through the RCIA and was baptized and confirmed, and he works for pro-life. But you see, if I had forced this man into something, nothing would have happened. I had to respect him. He says, "I'm Jewish, and I don't want that." So I said, "Okay." You know? And okay was enough. Then the Holy Spirit started to work. And he says, I would want Jesus to come into my heart. And it's very simple, you know. It's very simple. And faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We're called to love people, to care for people. And we all do it imperfectly, okay? None of us are perfect at it. But we are called to love people and to care for people. And if we can't do that, then we better keep our mouths quiet, okay? Because people aren't going to believe our message. If they cannot see a little of compassion, a little of caring, I'm going to tell you, they're not going to believe our message. Because our message is that of love, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. The Lord did not send his son into the world to condemn you, but that he'd give you eternal life. That's why the son came. And it's a message of love. It's a message of love. Starting in the womb of Mary, brought forth in Bethlehem, and consummated upon the cross. Love, 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 love. That destroys ego, that heals sicknesses, that forgives sins. Love. It's all about love. Let me tell you, at 1 o'clock today, we'll be praising the Lord at the Holy Rosary. You're welcome to come. This Sunday, between 3:30 and 5, we're having the live nativity. I am looking for a mother, father, and a baby. If you want to call the rectory, 617-846-1210, 617-846-1210, to have the honor of having your child, I don't care if it's a little girl, as the Christ child, that would be so beautiful, 617-846-1210. And tonight, there'll be Mass tonight at 7:30 at the Holy Rosary, followed by confessions and adoration. I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. More tomorrow, with the help of God. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.